This is Andy Baggerly, KNBR Insider from the Bay Area News Group. Now back to Giants pregame with Marty Lurie.
All right, nice to have Andy with us down in the Valley of the Sun. Extra Bags on Twitter with two G's, and of course covers the Giants for the Bay Area newspaper group, the San Jose Mercury News. Andy, how are you?
I'm good, Marty. How are you?
Good. Very good on this Saturday here as we go into the July 4th week. And I was thinking about this today. The Giants, as you look at it, 51-31. They're a game and a half behind the Cubs, you know, and there's 80 to go. But do we overlook the numbers of the Giants, how many runs they're projected to score, their on-base percentage, and all these things? You know, maybe the losses are so dramatic we get caught up in the losses and maybe can't see the forest here.
Well, as you know, Marty, we're halfway through, and so we've got half the mosaic together, as you know.
Thank you.
But you're right. When you go through and you look at the teams that really have thrust their way to the top of the standings at this point in the season, there's usually a pretty decent pattern that emerges. Either they lead the league in ERA, or they lead the league in runs, or they're second in both, or something like that. And then you look at the Giants, and really they're not standing out in that sort of aggregate statistical way. And this is where I think that, you know, we're trying to find ways to quantify defense and how do you play, what does it mean to play a clean game? What does it mean to hit, you know, in the clutch? You know, these are things that I think statistically we're still kind of grappling to find some metrics that can show us this. And those are the exact sort of missing metrics that might help to explain why the Giants are doing what they're doing. You look at the double play that Brandon Belt and Brandon Crawford turned in the ninth inning. That very easily have turned into a sideways inning for Santiago Casilla, and might likely have if not for just a tremendous play that not many first basemen and shortstops can combine to make. And I think it's a lot of those little building blocks have gone into building a team that is on pace to win 100 games right now, despite having so many people on the disabled list.
Yeah, and also having losses, the bullpen explodes here and there. And, you know, as I say, when they lose, there's drama involved. They just don't get blown out. There's drama involved. But they still have 51 wins. So I think maybe we get too dramatic with the losses.
Well, I think that, whenever you lose a lead in the late innings, it tends to be a little more of a concussive loss. You know, it lingers more in memory, especially if you have a closer who isn't maybe a Rob Nen or hasn't gone to All-Star games and isn't seen as one of the best in the league. Even though Casilla's done a pretty good job, if you look at all of his numbers, I don't know if the fan base has the sort of faith in him that they've had in some other closers in the past here. So yeah, those ones will stand out. But you look at it, and Casilla's got four blown saves. Two of them came on solo homers with a one-run lead. Another one came when Kelby Tomlinson goofed a ball that should have ended the game. So, and then you look at what the record is, and when they're leading after eight innings or trailing after seven or whatever. I mean, leading after eight innings, they're 42-3. In extra inning games, they're 5-4. In one run games, they're 19-9. So, even though the bullpen, like you said, has had its issues from time to time, and one really bad game against the A's a couple days ago. Overall, I think they've been one of the better groups in the National League.
Yeah, that's the point, and I'm glad you made it, and you had the numbers to back it up. The other thing I thought of this morning, I think of a lot of things in the morning here, looking at Grant Green, looking at Parker, Williamson, Tejada, whoever else is playing, Blanco, these guys who are in there now, they're going to play for a while. Let's see when Duffy comes back. Panic, hopefully he'll be back. Maybe give us an update on it. Some of the injured guys. Span, I see, is out again. But when August starts rolling into September, they're going to have some people who have come off the bench the whole year, and this bench actually may be better than people think, and they don't have to go out and get other veterans. Trevor Brown, I mean, Parker, yeah. These guys can make things happen.
I mean, the fact that all six runs yesterday were driven in by, the six through or five through eight hitters, and they were Parker, Brown, Green and Gillespie, and the only guy who was on the opening day roster was Brown as the backup catcher. And that kind of tells you that they're getting contributions and people are stepping up. And then even on in a day when Crawford and Belt go hitless, like I said, they turned that double play, and that ended up being just as big a contribution. So, you know, just looking at the pieces they're going to get back, I think the first guy they're going to get back is Sergio Romo. He went through back-to-back outings with no issues, and he's going to rejoin the team on Monday. I don't know if they're going to activate him. I think they probably will, because what they can do if they skip Albert Suarez's last start, then they can move Suarez back into a long relief role and move up Madison Bumgarner, Jake Peavy to pitch the final two games before the break. So that can give them a little more innings coverage that they can finally activate Romo, which I think that's sort of been the plan they've been waiting to do. And then after the All-Star break, Matt Cain should come very quickly. Matt Duffy probably should come right in that first road trip out of the All-Star break. And they hope to get Joe Panik back after these 7 days are up, and maybe they can even have him back for the series against the Diamondbacks before the break. So, and then Hunter Pence, you know what? There's a reason, Marty, that they didn't put him on the 60-day DL.
Yeah.
And if they did that, then he'd be out until August 2nd. And they obviously want to hold out hope that maybe he can come back before that. So, you know, you may be only having to play another 3 weeks of games before Hunter Pence is back, and that would obviously be a huge shot in the arm.
Yeah, I just think the bench is getting a lot of playing time, and I think it's going to come back to benefit them as we go down the stretch. Gillespie, Brown, especially Parker's another one. Blanco, all of a sudden you don't have to think of, they better get Chris DeNorfia up here. So that's my point with that. So that's what I was thinking about today. Hey, Samardzija.
Right. I agree.
Yeah, Samardzija.
Just to add on to your thought.
Go ahead, please.
Marty, just to add on to your thought. I think DeNorfia will help because he's a right-handed hitter.
Right.
But you make a great point about these at-bats for Gillespie, for Parker. Sometimes Parker strikeouts don't look that pretty, but you look up at what his OPS is and you realize that he's producing. And in Gillespie's case, he's 8 for his last 12, I believe, and he's taken his average from 221 to 288. So that certainly has helped him to get a little more locked in.
Yeah, very good. Andy, it's Samardzija tonight and Pat Corbin. No Span in the lineup. I understand still has a stiff neck. I saw you tweet that out. But how do you see this game tonight, though? With all the home runs Samardzija's given up, Corbin gives up 15 of them. You are indoors. It is Arizona. What do you see tonight?
Well, first of all, thank goodness we're indoors because it's 105 degrees outside. So normally I walk the about 8 long blocks from my hotel where I stay at downtown. And I thought, you know, maybe I probably should just go ahead and take an Uber and so I don't die of exposure out there today. So I did that and I made it here safely. You know what? You're right. Samardzija has to get back on the beam. And I think the sooner he can do that, the better. And the big part of that is getting the ball down and just he's got great stuff. It's just the pitches have been elevated lately. A lot of times that can happen when his arm gets too fast in front of his body or he starts getting on the side of the ball. But he says that it's not mechanics. He says it's all about mentality and you know, not making a mistake with two strikes like he did on that slider that got hit out for a homer the other day. And you know, he's alluded to this a little bit in spring training too, Marty. It was kind of interesting. He told me, you know what, I've been an athlete my whole life. Guy was a wide receiver at Notre Dame. He said, it's really easy for me to fall back on my athleticism and just count on that to bail me out. And it's important that you stay focused on every pitch. I think Buster Posey has really helped him stay focused out there. And Posey's going to be behind the plate to work with him today. And, you know, that's kind of a startling admission for a guy. Basically, it's a nice way of saying, hey, I can get lazy out there. And I've got to stay locked in from one pitch to the next. And when you don't do that consistently, then you have an inconsistent start. And if you have inconsistent starts, then you become an inconsistent pitcher. So I think that, you know, this would be a great time for him to have a good one and try to turn it around. But like you said, it's a lively environment. A lot of those guys have power. Goldschmidt, Lamb has got 18 homers. Wellington Castillo hit one out yesterday. Tomas, these guys can all take you deep. And so it's going to be on Samardzija to keep the ball down and on the Giants to find a way to keep hitting lefties despite having so many lefties in the lineup.
Yeah, I'll tell you, 51 and 31. There's 80 to go. And, you know, they could win. I mean, honestly, they, you know, who knows what's going to happen? Injuries, the whole thing, you know, and the second half is tougher. Games become a lot tougher to win. Everyone's fighting to get in. But, heck, Coming out of spring training, I didn't see a potential of maybe 96, 98 wins. And so I think it's kind of amazing they are where they are. Andy Cueto last night, the Giants have won 15 of his first 17 starts, which is actually amazing. But after hearing your story last night and what you said about it with the stomach disorder and his horse passed away, which is, and we have many listeners who tweeted in already about relationships between folks and an, you know, horse. It's a terrible loss, and he lost his horse Popeye. So he went out there and gave him seven innings. I thought they should have kept him in there. I didn't realize he was fighting so much.
Yeah, I didn't realize that he was sick. None of us really knew that. And it was doesn't sound like it was debilitating. You know, Trevor Brown was saying that he was holding his stomach in between pitches. He went to the bathroom during his bullpen, you know, before the game. And we asked him, well, did you actually get sick? And he said, no, I felt like I was going to throw up, but I never did. So, you know, he figured it out. Maybe he was just a little dehydrated or who knows. But by the fourth inning, he perked up and he was starting to make pitches. But you know what? The first inning, whether he's sick or not, is the time you got to get him. He's got a 6.88 ERA in the first inning and a 1.88 ERA after that, which is pretty stark. So, and like you said, it's astounding that the games where he really hasn't quite been sharp or he's put him in an early hole, the offense has come to life and come back. And really, he's living kind of a charmed life. And then, of course, he's pitched very, very well all season, too. Of his starts, he's done most of the heavy lifting to get that win. But the times that he hasn't been sharp, the team has had well-timed comebacks. And like you said, 15-2, wow. That's pretty amazing. And the Giants have a stat here in the game notes as well that he's the first Giants pitcher to win 12 of his first 13 decisions for the team since good old Hooks Wiltsie back in 1904. So, you know, Hooksie's got some company.
Yeah, well, he's in there with Iron Joe McGinnity and Christy Mathewson. Those were 1905, obviously, was the year that Mathewson threw all the shutouts. So I'm glad you brought that up. Hooks had a heck of a curveball, if I remember correctly. I think that's what it was.
Sure. Not quite the same as Amos Roussey's curveball, but it was pretty close.
Amos Roussey was very good. All right. Andy, pleasure to have you on, as always. I look forward to the weekend to have you on and get us ready for today. And if you have any time tomorrow, we'd love to have you, so we appreciate it.
Okay, but only Marty, if we can talk about try to name as many ball players as we can with colors in their name.
I gave you a couple
was the
today.
Thing we took on.
Yeah, I gave you, Sammy White today, and Jerry White, our good friend Jerry White, who played for the Expos. He's from San Francisco, and Sammy White was the catcher. So,
and I already had Lonnie White and Frank White and Devon White. So there's quite a few of those.
But, well, and don't overlook.
I couldn't believe I fanned on Pete Rose. How did I miss Pete
I
Rose?
Know. And I loved your comment. You were hitting your head. I like that. That was very good.
Yeah.
But I'll give you another one. Don Black, Cleveland Indians, and a tragic end to his life involving baseball. But he actually pitched a no-hitter. But look up Don Black about the 48 Indians.
Okay, I will.
Okay.
I will. I'll do that right now.
All right. Well, you'll like, believe me, you'll like the story. All right. Andy, thanks so much as always, and have a good night tonight.
Thanks, Marty. You too.
All right. That is the wonderful Andy Baggerly. Always like getting ready for the game with him down in Arizona. You can follow him on Twitter at Extra Bags with two Gs, and, of course, San Jose Mercury News and all those papers involved. All right.